a written plan is intended as a work in progress, providing you a method to keep track of events, memorialize them, update the situation, and continually rethink how you can do better. Roger Urey in Getting to Yes said the big step forward is when you can state the situation as they see it to their satisfaction. If they can do that in reverse about what you want, you usually can reach a resolution. This is the ideal standard to work towards. First part. State your objectives. No more than three. More than three objectives is unwieldy and unworkable. Jack Welch, former GE CEO, said when he had three objectives and accomplished one, he recreated the list. He said wisely, "Something else may have emerged as more important." In ever-accelerating times, this is even more true today than when Jack was CEO of GE. In your negotiations, this means if you lock down one objective, you should reevaluate the other two and consider what your third should be then. Change is what you can count on. The two are either more or less important than they were. You must then reanalyze that situation to reformulate your objectives. Too many objectives create too cumbersome a plan. This is why lawyers are so often dazed, confused, and late. They are trying to do too much. You want to narrow your list to the important objectives so you can focus for results, as Peter Drucker says. Second, get the other side to state their most important objectives. Then you have a first-class plan to work with, your key objectives and theirs. Fourth, monetize all deal points, large and small. What is it worth for this, that, and the other thing? Yes, this is an estimate or a guesstimate, but you need to start somewhere. The wisest people set a range with each deal point having a range of values. If you can get the other side to discuss these points, then you are on your way to conflict resolution. Most lawyers prefer to argue than discuss this, so this is hard for them. But many can do it, and you should encourage that behavior. Advise them that there is time enough to sue. Let's start by talking in a reasonable format. Tip: if the other side hires a lawyer to negotiate, you have the advantage in that they are paying that person and ultimately will tire of it. Third, after establishing your three key objectives, set forth your goals under each one. Write down what would be an accomplishment. An excellent milestone is having an email or phone chat about mutual objectives without specifying any specific result that must emerge from those discussions. If you put all of this together, you have a skeleton of a plan, the objectives, goals, milestones, time frame, and what you expect. You can't drive over a 99% finished bridge. Until everything is done, it is not done. However, momentum tends to drive resolution if you can get them to talk with you, work on the PMI points discussed later, state their objectives, and be open to further discussions. Remember that lawyers go to court and argue. Someone else figures it out, the judge or jury, not them. So they can be a hurdle because they like to argue, but often feel daunted by reaching conclusions since they think, I could have gotten more. And should I have given up this, that, or the other thing? Fifth, checklists and reviews help you help them get by this. How are we doing? How are we communicating? And share this with the other side. Tip, make the lawyer on the other side your friend and coach. Build a bridge to him or her. Then, when their client gets tired of the bills, you have a bridge to do as they say. Final tip. If you build a strong enough relationship, you can ask their attorney, what do I need to do so you can sell this deal? A perfect ending in conflict resolution. Chapter 3. PMI Thinking. Plus, minus, and interesting points. How to analyze a conflict. PMI thinking is dividing issues into the pluses, minuses, and interesting points. Edward De Bono first defined this approach of how to think clearly. De Bono found it odd that so many bright people did not think well. Through extensive research, he discovered that many people tended to argue, not think. After more research following up on this discovery, he concluded that the key to good thinking was to suspend judgment while assessing the facts. One should identify the pluses of an argument, the minuses, and the interesting segues or points before engaging in further discussion. De Bono found that at this point, one